A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
O gracious God, hear this morning, through me or in spite of me, speak words of hope and resurrection to our lives in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, it's hard to preach the Sunday after Easter. I mean, good gracious, we pull the best cars out and the best clothes out and everything else and tell the best stories we got on Easter. And then you get up on the week after Easter and say, what in the world are we going to do next week? So it's sort of hard to do. But as I thought about the scripture this week, we already got Acts, and I didn't want to preach it because it's a post-Pentecost thing, and Pentecost isn't here yet. But last week we dealt with the sun being turned loose, and this week as I read that scripture, which is part of the lectionary, I thought, I don't want to deal with this, but somehow it kept coming up, and I said, I don't have any choice but to deal with it. There are a couple of truths in life that I think that I thought about. One is, it doesn't matter what happens in our life one week, the very next week, life has a way of just moving on. And the second truth that I thought about as I thought through that scripture was that truth and justice have a way of rising up over and over again in generation after generation in various places around the world. And somehow the people of God seek to live on, and they seek to want to see truth and mercy and justice implemented in their time of day. But it just doesn't get any better than Holy Week. I mean, if you go back and look at Holy Week, we celebrated Palm Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We had a great worship service over in Restore on Thursday night as we had communion and washed feet and were humble servants there, remembering how Jesus did that same thing on Holy Night. Then, good gracious, one of the best Good Friday services I have ever attended in my life was right here on Friday night. Sober. And we left here, but we were ready last Sunday morning to get him out of the tomb and celebrate that resurrection and celebrate that the sun was loose again. But as I read the scripture this week and thought about this week, I thought about 2,000 years ago, the Romans and the Jews both thought they were done with this guy called Jesus. I mean, they heard these stories, but they had tortured him, and they had murdered him, and they had buried him, and some thieves and robbers had opened up his grave and stolen the body, and it was just a lie and a conspiracy to try to get some kind of movement started, some kind of political unrest moving within the Roman Empire and within the Jewish quadrant themselves. And as far as they were concerned, though, they were done with him. But they had a problem. They had a real serious problem because stories about him kept popping up. I mean, about how he was popping up in the midst of the people and showing up in various places. And worse than that, these guys named Peter, James, and John and the rest of them kept running around doing what Jesus had been doing. They were healing the sick, and they were blind sawing, lame walked, and they were preaching in the temple. And the folks started getting upset about it and saying, what in the world are we going to do now? We did away with Jesus. What are we going to do with these guys? So the scripture this morning takes place after they had been arrested, not once, but twice. They'd already been arrested at least twice, but just in the scripture prior to what Michael read this morning, they'd been arrested twice in the same week. And they had been put in prison, and just amazingly, they'd gotten out, and the prison was still locked. I mean, just all these kind of things happen. And when the Sadducees thought they were still in the prison, and the Romans thought they were still in the prison, where are these apostles? They're in the temple preaching and teaching and telling people about this man called Jesus. So the council of the Sadducees brings them in again and begins to rip them and saying, we told you not to do this, but you're doing it anyway. We told you not to preach and teach anymore in the name of Jesus, but you're doing it anyway. We want you to stop. And once again, Peter tells them, how can we stop when the Spirit has given us witness? And when we bear witness, not only do we bear witness, but the Spirit bears witness. You see, the whole social culture was threatened. Everything about the government and everything about the Jewish structure and everything they had going was threatened. And they had already solved the problem, but they had not solved the problem of these who remained, who also, as Jesus had done, refused to recognize the emperor as Lord. They had solved the problem, but they could not solve the problem of these apostles who still went about healing and teaching and building the hope of the people. What in the world was going on? Peter told them, we are witnesses. We have seen his glory. We are those people who have experienced his goodness. We are those people who have received his Spirit. We are witnesses to the fact that the story about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is true. That's who we are. And the Romans and the Jews had reason to be concerned, because it appeared that they were multiplying. It appeared as they went around and they told the story and they shared their witness and they shared how this man called Jesus had made a difference in their life, that there were more and more and more and more of them. And they really just didn't know quite what to do about it. And I would share with you this morning, the same Spirit that moved across the waters in creation was now moving in the lives of the witnesses and had begun to move in the lives of the believers who heard the story and some way had the Spirit of God speak to their hearts and assure them that the story was true, that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus was real, and that as they accepted that story, they received new life. All the old things in their life were sort of washed away. As far as one side of the universe was to the other side of the universe, their transgressions against God were forgotten and removed from them. And they believed that and claimed that as their own story. And they too began to tell the story. You see, when the Christian faith was born, and when those apostles went forth, and for 2,000 years now, the witnesses have gone across the face of the earth trying to do the right things the right way. And I wonder about that. I thought a little bit this week, and I won't get political with you, but I will share with you, I had great disdain this week for our whole social process, political process that's going on. Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, I don't care what you want to call them, I had great disdain for our process this past week when I processed these scriptures. And I processed in the light of witnesses who serve a living Lord, who want to do the right things the right way, because there's injustice and there's lack of mercy and there's lost people in the world and there are people who don't know God. What would it be like if we had a political process that was only about doing the right things the right way? The right things the right way. But yet those apostles were born, and what the Jewish people and the Romans couldn't do, all those people who were only concerned about their own political aspirations and their own political perspectives, what they couldn't do is they couldn't stop that little band of witnesses that was just about wanting to do the right things the right way. Their integrity and their character was unbelievable. They stood in the face of death, doing the right things the right way, only saying, "We have but one Lord, and that Lord is not Caesar. That Lord is Jesus Christ." The Spirit had spoken to the hearts, and the Spirit was loose. The Spirit that moved across the waters of creation was recreating over and over and over again, every single day, new believers, new life, new opportunity, new potential, new hope, new ways for people to live together as the people of God. Peter, James, and John and those early apostles and the apostolic movement that birthed the church was birthed by people who knew who they were. They were the children of the living God who believed that Jesus Christ was God who had come and poured out godliness upon the face of the earth to redeem them from the bondages of this world and rise in newness of life. They were those people who had seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and they were never to be the same again. They had been raised themselves in newness of life in the name of Jesus Christ. They felt it, and they understood it, they lived it, and they proclaimed it everywhere they went. In resurrection, you see, the Spirit of God is turned loose upon the face of the earth. And for the last 2,000 years, the people of God have witnessed, have taught, have changed lives, have transformed the norms of society, not as a protest, not as something they were protesting, but as a faithful witness to the movement of a living God among the people of God. The question today for you, the question today for me, is have we really been raised to newness of life, to where we are living like the people who are serving a living God? For you see, we are those who are to be witnesses. And the fruit of our witness would be the same fruit of the witness 2,000 years ago. And here's the question. If we are raised to newness of life, are we multiplying? Or are we dying out? And may you who have ears to hear, hear.